This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. The phone number to contact the Outdoorsman Radio Show, which you're listening to at the moment, is 410-922-6680. If you write the call letters of the radio station down, that's WCBM. The location on your dial is 680. And if you punch that into your phone, if you precede that with a 410 or an 800 outside the local Baltimore area, you can get right through. 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680, or 410-922-6680 is our phone number. You're going to decide the agenda for a while here this morning. I don't know. We may have a couple special guests call in. We may not. You just never know. Because people listen to the show and they just call in. But you're the special guest right now, so you're going to decide the agenda. We're going to talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, if you like. And General Assembly in Annapolis has convened a mishmash of bills, as always. Trying to make sense of that is sometimes more than a challenge. And right now, Captain Seaweed would like to talk about one of those particular events.
Hey,
good morning.
Alan, how you doing on this cold, cold morning?
It is a little chilly out there. It's 16
That the delegates to the Senate, I should say, is having a...
In my neck of the woods. So how are you doing?
Very, very well. Alan, I just wanted to find out if you were aware of hearing on the gun control on Wednesday of this week coming up, which is February the 6th.
I've been aware of that. That is Gun Rally Day. A number of the organizations are sending out to their members the fact that they want them to rally in Annapolis as gun owners because they are hearing the Senate some of the firearms bills. And yes, I was aware of that. We'll be more than glad to pass the word.
Please do, Alan. In fact, the matter is, I've already signed up to do a little speech in regards to the Second Amendment myself. On that particular day.
Good for you. Good for you. Now, which particular bill are you testifying on, Cap?
I'm testifying on Bill number 281, which is a Senate bill to bear an arm right for you to.
You're talking about the Firearms Safety Act.
Correct. Yes.
Of 2013. Yes. Yeah. And this is the bill that wants to ban so many firearms that so many people in the that like to shoot, recreationally like to shoot. Is that exactly the bill you're talking about?
Absolutely. Yes. It's an absolute tragedy. You know, I'm not new at trying to fight for my liberties and freedoms.
Right.
I did this quite a while ago.
Yeah.
And I've been through that hall, coffee rooms, the bathrooms, the halls, the whole nine, the whole legislatures, and I'm out to do it again.
Yep.
And the bottom line is people's got to stand tall and resist every effort that they can that they're trying to put against us that like to go out and do a little shooting on the side.
Sure, sure. Now, one of the aspects of this bill I found fascinating was the qualification license. Are you familiar with that section of the bill?
Somewhat, yes.
All right, here's what that part says. It says to purchase or rent, a handgun of any type, you must first obtain a license. So, hey, if you want to take a day with your family and go out to the range and decide whether or not you actually want to own a firearm, you walk up to the guy and you say, "Look, I'd like to run a 22 pistol to shoot. My wife has never shot before, and we just want to see what it's like." The guy says, "Do you have a license?"
Bottom line is they're doing everything they can to infringe on your liberties and freedoms. That's just one part of it.
Oh, that's exactly right. But let me make my point here, all right?
Go ahead.
this license is akin to a firearms owner's ID. And here's what you have to do to obtain this license. It is a 100 in this bill, if it is passed, you will pay to rent a firearm or to purchase a firearm a $100 non-refundable fee every 5 years.
Well, that's something that's in that bill. I'm going to dissect that bill myself Monday. I'm going down and grab the bill, and I'm going to rip it apart. Bottom line is, people have to take and understand that their liberties and freedoms, and I might mention, 1932, they had a bill similar to this after the St. Valentine's Massacre, where they had to pay $200 excise tax for different guns and so forth and so forth. This has all been done. All they have to do is take care of what they presently have and not think about taking and going in any farther.
Oh, yeah, enforcement is a big part. But, you know, Captain, one of these days you're going to let me speak and finish my sentence. But I may have to do that after you're gone, but that's all right. no problem at all. But I do want to point out the fact that this bill is more than just, clips and semi-automatic handguns. This is a bill to financially disable you from owning a firearm.
I understand that.
Yeah, now, you say you want to dissect the bill. I'm trying to help you here.
All right.
So I said $100 non-refundable fee every 5 years to own or rent a firearm. Then a background check, including fingerprints that you got to pay for yourself. You are required, if you want to rent a firearm at the shooting range or purchase one, you've got to undergo an 8-hour training class. And guess what? You got to pay for the class and the ammunition. Our state says this is the mandate. You've got to do this. And then you have to demonstrate proficiency and use.
Absolute tragedy.
Now, what do you think that whole thing costs before you even want to go rent a gun?
You're not going to be able to afford it. They're going to do everything they can to disadvantage you so that you don't own a gun. And those legislatures that are coming up with this idea and putting this together, they're coming up for voting to be voted back in within the next couple of years. And by God, they'll lose their jobs if they try to do something like this.
Happened to Cass Taylor, didn't it?
Pardon me?
It happened to Cass Taylor, didn't it?
Absolutely, it's gonna happen to the legislatures that are down there right now.
Yeah, do you remember who Cass Taylor was?
Certainly, I do.
Okay, and what cost him his position as Speaker of the House?
What about the Speaker of the House?
I said, what bill that he signed and endorsed cost Cass Taylor his position?
You know, I do not know. Please tell me.
That was the handgun ban.
Oh, okay. All right.
When he was photographed smiling with the governor signing that handgun ban back when Schaefer was governor, they put a picture of him on a billboard up on 68 for all his constituents to see that he was signing legislation that was going against their Second Amendment rights.
Your knowledge is fantastic. I love talking to you about things like this.
Well, I agree. Thank you, Captain. Have a good day.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. All right, Emerson wants to talk about guns. It looks like we're going to do gun laws today, ladies and gentlemen. Emerson in Parkville, go ahead.
Good morning to you, sir. First of all, I love your show. I do not hunt. I do fish, and I've learned so much from your show.
Good.
And I'm going to take a different angle on this. I go to Annapolis on other issues when it comes to kids, but what's interesting to me is those who have sponsored bills to restrict guns and permits and whatever you want to get into.
Still there, aren't they?
Are the same ones that we go down every year and we try to keep the violent criminals in prison, including the child predators and pedophiles.
Yes.
And I matched up on the internet over the years those who voted against Jessica's law and those who have supported gun bans, and it's just fascinating how it's an equal, one side equals the other. And again, I'm no expert in guns. I've learned a lot every Saturday morning from your show, and I appreciate your knowledge and your expertise. I'm a survivor of a crime, so I look at this in a different perspective. But with the few times I've gone to Annapolis, it's fascinating how the majority of those who will not protect a child from pedophiles are defense lawyers, but a lot of them will support this gun ban. Here's a piece of information you might not know of. There's a bill, I believe it's HB 154 or 157, which will allow convicted persons of spouse abuse to be allowed to leave prison after their conviction, while they're convicted and they're in jail, during their appeal.
Okay.
And
are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised, because the same gentleman who's a House Delegate Chairman, Judicial Committee, blocked Jessica's law for 12 years, and he's blocking a bill to keep child pornographers in jail. I went to Delegate John Cluster in Baltimore County, and I helped him on this. And this gentleman is blocking this bill, but wants those who beat up their wives and girlfriends to be allowed to leave during their appeal. And he has come out to say that he likes some of the gun bills. So it's just, it's amazing to me.
Here's the deal with these politicians, okay? They're in there. They think they have power. They think that they, you know, the people elected them to do the people's work, okay? So a bill goes up, and they don't hear from people who are opposed. They know people are opposed, but they don't hear from them.
I know.
Okay, now wait a minute. But they do hear from people who are on their side. So if you say, you know, I think we ought to mandate that every girl in Maryland under the age of 16 ought to get a pink pony at least once in her life before the age of 16. Hey, advocates for pink ponies are going to come out of the woodwork.
Yes, sir.
Anybody who thinks it's ridiculous is going to go, that's ridiculous. But they're not going to call their general assemblyman. They're not going to call their senator. They're not going to call their representative and say, what are you thinking? First of all, pink ponies don't exist. What are you trying to pass a stupid, ridiculous law about pink ponies for? You know, they don't hear from them. Hey, look, right in this seat where I'm sitting right now, sat Pat McDonough a couple years ago. And I said, Pat, why won't Baltimore County pass Sunday hunting? And you know what he said to me? He said, we don't hear from hunters in Baltimore County. We hear from anti-hunters that don't want hunting on Sunday, but we don't hear from hunters. I said, thank you. I'm not surprised.
Hey, well, that's the same that I have to beg people in Parkville when this year I couldn't get down to help Delegate John Cluster. I did email. I have to beg people in Parkville to help keep pedophiles in prison.
Yep.
But they're the same ones who I know for a fact want to restrict guns, and I see them every day, and I just look at them, and I just shake my head.
No, you don't have to shake your head. Here's what you do, Emerson. You say, look, Senate Bill 281, I don't know much about guns, but this is a bad law. Don't vote for it. That's all you have to say, one sentence. All right, Emerson, thanks for the call. We have to move along. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Bernie, good morning. Hello, Bernie.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
What's up?
You know, these gun laws, they tell me, listen to talk programs, and they tell me about one of these police officers are for gun control. But let me tell you something. You know, the last time when they had that big run and they took guns years ago, when they took the guns downtown, they paid people for them and took them in. And,
right.
Well, you know, in Rosedale, there was at Chesco Avenue and Route 7, there was a barber shop. I went there to get my hair cut. And that barber shop, the police were bringing guns there, and they were selling them. There's guns that were taken into the city.
Oh, I'm shocked.
And listen to me now. I ordered one, a Colt 45, and a woman said, your gun will be here next week, next time you come back for your haircut. Well, next time I went back for my haircut, the barbershop was going, the people were going, and I never knew whatever happened to it.
Bernie, it was a... And you never knew what happened to it. Amazing, isn't that? Selling illegal guns, and all of a sudden they're gone. Isn't that amazing? Bernie, thanks for the call. All right, 410-WCBM 680. If you want to have a serious conversation about firearms legislation in General Assembly, please, here's the place to call. If you want to talk about fishing, please, here's the place to call. If you want to talk about hunting, please, here's the place to call. The number is 410-922-6680. Brian Farlow stands by. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowards. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowards. They'll never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love. Cowboys ain't easy to love and they're harder to hold. And they'd rather give you a song than diamonds.
Charlie, Baltimore, good morning. Charles?
Hello?
Yes, Charles, you're up, man.
Well, I want to wish you a happy day.
Well, thank you. Same
to
you.
And a better tomorrow.
Well, let's hope so.
I listen to your program all the time, and listening to all these rules and regulations and laws, 70 years ago when I started hunting and fishing, we didn't have any. And it was easy to travel the entire world and not have all this rules and regulations and laws regulating everything you do and the expense of things. So I just wanted people to know how things have transpired through the years.
You know, Charles, you grew up in the golden age, to be honest with you. I always said I was born 150 years too late. You know, I look back at the mountain men and the pioneers and the folks that had a hard row to hoe to get to where they are in this country, and I look at that and I think about the abundant fish and game populations, and then I look at what the market hunters did around the end of the 1800s, and how they killed off all the game. And how Teddy Roosevelt and the conservationists around the turn of the last century, you know, brought all that back. And they depended on people as hunters and conservationists to be, you know, hunters were the first conservationists. And we started to see the return of the wild turkey. We started to see the return of the plains bison. We started to see the return of the white-tailed deer, the pronghorn antelope, the Rocky Mountain elk. And you know, these animals started to come back and flourish in the last century. And, you know, we have game managers now. And I look at the folks that like yourself, who traveled the world, who saw the different species of game, who saw, who saw the abundant populations of wild game all over the world. And in some of the countries in Africa and so forth, watched as poachers decimated certain populations. Who stood in the gap the whole time for wildlife conservation and put their dollars where their mouth was, put their money where their mouth was? And that was hunters, as true conservationists, because they saw what was happening in this world. And Charles, you know, you say about there are no regulations. I admire you and what you've done across this world, because you've seen these populations of wildlife and game rise and fall, and you've seen the political ramifications and what's been done to some of our populations around the world. You've seen what happened in Uganda. You've seen what's happened in tiger hunting in India. In your lifetime, and you experienced that. Am I right?
You are absolutely right.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. And, you know, you look back at it now and you see, you know, where we were, what we did, and how we're coming back from the brink. And through your eyes, I would have loved to have been there at your side and traveled with you. I'd have been your gun bearer.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right, Charles.
And have a wonderful day.
You too,
and
Duke.
A good 2013.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. There he goes, Charles. You got to love it. Here's what amazes me. We have this show. Been doing this show for 24 years. You know who I am, who've listened. And I get information from listeners. You know, people send me links, and they forward me a bunch of patriotic stuff, and I'm on mass email lists, of course, from my listeners that send me stuff that goes circulating around the internet. You know, things to think about, and our troops, and you know, God, and all, you know, I get all this stuff, and sometimes funny stuff too. And I'm getting some of this stuff, a little bit of the. But do you know what's absolutely amazing to me? Absolutely amazing. Here is a public format for people who fish, who hunt, who love to have their firearms, protected, their Second Amendment rights. I do not hear, for the most part, from the leaders of these organizations that claim they are standing up for your rights. I don't hear from them. I don't hear from them. It's crickets. It's crickets. The people who say that they're defending, you know, that hey, look, send us your money and we will represent you. The only group I really hear from on a regular basis is Maryland Shall Issue folks. Okay? There are so many organizations out there. There are so many individual gun clubs. There are so many conservation organizations. And I know these people. And I run into these people. And I see these people. But will they pick up the phone and call one of the few shows that is 100% dedicated to the cause? I don't understand it. Maybe somebody can put that into perspective for me. Maybe some of our listeners can put that into perspective, because you, the audience, are far more active. I get copies of letters that people send to their delegates. I get copies of links to websites from my listeners that I don't get from people who should. Is this show that little known out there among these organizations? I don't know how it could be. I show up in Annapolis. I show up at Conservation Club, events, the banquets. I emcee some of them, as a matter of fact. But I don't hear from those people on the radio. Isn't that amazing? So, I can only assume that what you want to hear is something that I want to talk about. I open the microphones up. The phone number, 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. Here's what I hear. I was listening the other day, and I can't remember the number. Well, the WCBM 680, that's the number. Oh, Oh, now I get it. So share your point of view. That's all I'm saying. You know how. Chris, good morning.
Hello, Alan.
Yes, sir. What's up?
How you doing? I was reading on a couple of the forums. I came across something called the Wildlife Sustainability Act.
Yes, sir.
And I read in there that there's a part of it that they're going to, I guess, implement a land use fee for non-sportsmen.
That's correct. People who do not have a hunting license, what this bill is going to do is going to authorize the secretary, the Department of Natural Resources, to implement a fee to people who use wildlife management areas, not state parks. They already have their own fee structure. They already have their own people that run their own deal there. But wildlife management areas, there are 47 of them in the state, 111,000 acres, paid for by hunters' dollars, maintained by Wildlife and Heritage under the Department of Natural Resources Wildlife and Heritage Service, maintained, huntable, bought by hunters' dollars, maintained by hunters' dollars, and open to the general public at no charge. So what they're saying is, if you're a hiker, biker, backpacker, kayaker, or bird watcher, and you'd like to use a wildlife management area, just like any other area that we access here in the state, we're going to implement a fee, similar to the wildlife National Wildlife Refuge. If you have a hunting license, no additional charge.
Man, I'm all for that.
Well, I can't imagine that anybody isn't for that, that's a hunter, because that is a very small percentage. Well, that is a smallish percentage. I won't say very small, but a smallish percentage of the money that the Wildlife and Heritage Service needs. Their budget is in desperate need of funding. There has been a shortfall. They've cut to the bone. There's no public money that goes to Wildlife and Heritage to manage our wildlife in Maryland. There is more provisions to that Wildlife Sustainability Act than just that you mentioned. There is provision in that bill that would, as far as district court is concerned, if there's a wildlife violation right now, the fine gets paid. It goes to the general fund. There's a provision in there that says 25% this year, 50% the following year, 75% the following year, and 100% 4 years down the road goes to Wildlife and Heritage if a fine is collected through the district court. There's also a provision in there to raise the hunting license. We talked about that in the past. That was negotiated down primarily by the folks in Western Maryland who could not support a $20 increase in the general license, despite all the other good things in this bill. So the bill has been, I believe it was registered yesterday, February 1st, at $12.50. So the general license that you pay the basic license that you pay $24.50 for, goes from $24.50 to $37. There are no increases in the cost of the stamps. And along with that, there is a cost reduction if you have a junior hunter in your family. And here's how that works. A junior hunter right now pays $10.50 for a junior hunting license. On top of that, there's a $6 fee for a bow stamp. There's an additional $6 fee for a muzzleloader stamp. If the person is lucky enough to qualify for a bonus buck permit, there's an additional $10 fee for a bonus buck permit, just like we have here, the adults have. There's a $9 Maryland waterfowl or migratory bird stamp, and there is also a $5 trapping or what they call a fur bearer's license, okay? So all those extra fees are an additional $36 on top of the $10.50. So if a child wants an underage a junior hunter wants to do any of those things, it's an additional $36. Let's say the kid just wants to bow hunt and muzzleloader hunt. It's an additional $12. Guess what? Under the Wildlife Sustainability Act, all the extra stamps go away for junior hunters. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I see that.
Okay,
I know my son. He hunts. This will be his last year as a junior hunter.
Right.
That'll definitely help us out.
Sure. So, in other words, if he hunts with a muzzleloader, it's a $6 fee. If he hunts with a firearm, it's a $6 fee. If he does any waterfowl hunting at all with you, it's an additional $9. There's six, six, and nine. That's $21 on top of the $10.50, right?
Right.
He doesn't pay that $21 anymore if this provision passes, if this bill passes.
That's a little easier to swallow at a $12.50 then, for sure.
You're going to pay $12.50 more.
Right.
Okay? But he's going to pay $21 less.
Right, I got you.
And if you're a parent, it's a wash. It's money in your pocket.
Yep.
But if the bill doesn't pass, that doesn't happen. Do you understand?
What do you think its chances are?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We have to, as the hunting community, we have to say, we don't mind paying an additional dollar a month to manage our wildlife resources, because now we see that others are going to help us pay. And that's
right.
That's the non-licensed user of wildlife management areas. We're going to save money if we have, like my grandson, you know, he waterfowl hunts, he's going to bow hunt, he muzzleloader hunts, all those additional, you know, it's at least another $21 there for his mom and dad to pay. And that goes away. So it's $10.50 total in this provision, total, if your child wants to hunt and enjoy everything, trapping, waterfowl, muzzleloader, bow, bonus deer. It's all gone. But the bill has to pass for that to happen. There are other provisions in that bill. The bill says the Wildlife Fund can now receive private donations. It couldn't do that before. If you wanted to leave your money to Wildlife and Heritage, you couldn't do it. You could leave it to the Department of Natural Resources, but you can't leave it to Wildlife and Heritage. So let's say that somebody in the department does you a great favor, and you say, well, you know, in my will, I'm going to put $10,000 to go to manage waterfowl. Well, the Wildlife Fund couldn't receive that money anymore. Now it can under that provision in this bill. So it's more than just raising the hunting license. It does add $20 to a non-resident hunting license, either the 3-day or the annual fee. But that's very reasonable anyway. It's $130 to $150 for a full season if you're out of state to hunt in Maryland. If you hunt 3 days, it goes from $45 to $65. Okay, I pay that when I go to Maine for 2 days to hunt waterfowl. So
right, that's not too salty.
No, not too salty at all. So
yeah,
but I'm glad you brought that up. Is there anything else in the bill that you didn't like?
No, you know, there wasn't anything I didn't like. I just seen that, and I actually, you know, at a quick glance, I thought it was a great idea because I know a lot of states up north have that. You know,
right.
If you want to ride your snowmobiles or if you want to ride your horses and things like that on managed properties, you have to, you know, got to have a permit.
Right. Chris, you understand how many people manage the 47 wildlife management areas, 111,000 acres here in Maryland? Do you know how many people it takes to manage those?
I imagine quite a few, but probably not enough.
Two on the eastern shore, two on the western shore.
That's insane.
That's the budget. That's the staff that manage 47 wildlife management areas.
Yeah, that's...
Four people.
That's insane.
I agree with you. It's insane.
Wow.
So, you know, and I will tell you that there are people who are experts, people who have testified in Congress on federal budgets, people who have dissected federal budgets for certain departments that have testified in front of Congress, have looked at the budget of the Wildlife and Heritage Service and have said, how are you guys doing it? You don't have enough money to maintain, you know, what you're doing. And they find that it's the initial $20 was justified. But it got negotiated down. And it was a very difficult process. It was a frustrating process. I was at the meetings. Okay. I'm not talking from an outsider's point of view. It was contentious. It was very contentious. It was very disturbing. It was difficult. And, a lot of people were involved in this. A lot of good people were involved in this. And a lot of people gave a lot of volunteer time to try and make this happen. You understand that this Wildlife Sustainability Act is not a bill that was put in by the Department of Natural Resources.
No, I didn't know that.
who sponsored
this bill. After the bill failed last year, Senator Astell, who is a member, who is a co-chairman in the Senate of the, or is the chairman of the Senate Maryland Legislative Sportsmen's Caucus, the group of people in our General Assembly who have sportsmen's interest at heart. Senator Astell went to the Maryland Legislative Sportsmen's Foundation and said, how can we get some money for wildlife and heritage? It wasn't wildlife and heritage with their handout. It wasn't a state agency. It was the independent caucus that said, we need money to run this department. How can we make this happen? And a bill was crafted. Various sportsmen's groups met several times. First time was in November to talk about it and to come up with some legislation. And I was in Maine during that time. I did not make that meeting. So I made all the subsequent meetings. There was another meeting in December when the facets were agreed upon by most of the sportsmen's community. Prominent members of Western Maryland Coalition did not show up at that meeting when the decision was made. When the email went out with the provisions of the act, all of a sudden there was an uproar in the five western counties. That got kind of settled down. There's a final meeting tomorrow, and the bill was we had a meeting in Frederick with the coalition, and hashed things out, presented information. And the bill was negotiated down, watered down to some degree, to $12.50 of an increase from $24.50 to $37. And that's how that all came. I witnessed it. I've been there. I've been to the meetings. I've been as far as one of 10 or 12 people in the room. I've been as little as one of six people at the table. And I've watched this process all the way through. And I can tell you that wildlife and heritage there is a budget shortfall there. Trust me.
Yeah, I can believe it. Well, democracy is a great thing, and it's good to see it working.
Yes.
And I hope it gets some legs. To change gears real quick, hunting season's still on. I'm heading down to do some bunny shooting on the shore. Get your kids out. You know, squirrel season's still in.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
And
yep.
I was ice fishing last week. We lost our ice, so I'm going to chase some rabbits.
Yep.
There's plenty to do. Get out there, guys.
Well, yeah, especially on that ice. Please stay off the ice. NRP had to rescue two folks from the Midwest out on the ice in Deep Creek Lake the other day. They were in the water for 20 minutes before help arrived, and they were fading fast.
So they were very lucky.
They were very lucky. Hypothermia can kill you. Hypothermia can kill you when you're sitting in a deer stand. You just got to stay warm and make sure you insulate yourself. And be careful out there. Those bunnies, man, I love hunting bunnies in the wintertime. Maybe we'll get some snow and get after them next week.
There you go.
All right, Chris.
Alan.
Thanks, buddy.
Talk to you.
Okay, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. There he goes. All right, Chris on the Beltway. Let's talk to Frank in Curtis Bay. Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Yeah, about a mile from where I'm at in Curtis Bay, the Patapsco River kind of ends and spills into, the inner harbor.
Right.
And it's really not a river. It kind of turns into looks like you're in a part of Florida, like a little swampy little area.
Oh, yeah. That's what I think of every time I go by Curtis Bay. I think about Florida.
Yeah, but either way, a couple of my boys and his friends were up there, and they're kind of like Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer. And, the guys they were with pulled three-foot alligators out of that section. It was on the news for a few minutes. It wasn't a big story, but somebody had to put them there, man. They had to be somebody's pets. Three-foot alligators. They had
How many?
Three of them.
Where was this again?
Right at where the Patapsco River spills into the harbor area.
Yeah.
I mean, they call it a river, but it turned into something.
Yeah, you said that. Now, tell me, how did they see these animals?
I think they were domesticated because they weren't running from anybody.
First of all, you can't domesticate a reptile.
I don't know how to have. I mean, it was a little skit on the news. It was a big deal for a while, but.
Oh, okay. I remember somebody catching an alligator, but you say you had somebody that witnessed him. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, my boy and his little friends, they go back there and they're like Huckleberry Finn and all. I mean, it's not too far from the city. You're only minutes from the city, but once you get back there, you feel like you're in another world.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, there's places on the Patuxent that are like that. So,
I mean, you never know what's in water, man. My grandmother seen something when she was young, and this was probably 80-something years ago off Hawkins Point. I mean, it scared the bejeebers out of her. It looked like a turtle's head coming up out of the water, and she said it was the ugliest thing she ever saw. It had scales all over its head, and it just kept coming up and coming up. Maybe it was that Nessie they were talking about. Might have been a big snake or something. You just never know.
Man, you never know about that kind of stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, Frank, keep your eye out for Bigfoot, okay?
If you can't eat it, it can eat you.
Hey, Frank, do you hear what I said?
Oh, Bigfoot, I don't believe in Bigfoot. I believe in flying saucers and sea monsters. But nah, air hunters would have caught Bigfoot already.
Yeah, you don't believe in Bigfoot. I got you. Flying saucers and sea monsters you're good with, right?
Yeah, I'm into that, but nah, we'd have caught Bigfoot.
Yeah. Do you listen to Coast to Coast?
Nah, I can't. Yeah, not that much, but I mean...
Really? You ought to call in. You ought to call in. Coast to Coast... Huh?
If you're out in the woods getting stoned and you saw Jonathan Ogden walk by in the distance, you'd think that was Bigfoot, you know? There ain't no Bigfoot, Chuck.
Frank, have a nice day. It's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Actually, it's been going on since last Labor Day for the 2013 Fishing Challenge. People are catching fish. People are registering their catch. Marty Colley caught a nice big old 42-inch striped bass. Robert Zukowski, I might know him. He's from Brookville. He caught a 24-inch chain pickerel. Peter Reed from Baltimore caught a 47-inch striped bass. All those were registered in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shops, thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, prizes like from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. And if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. Stop by your local Fish and Citation Center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov, and we'll be telling you more about what's going on in the fishing world as 2013 unfolds. Are you feeling lucky? This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
Clyde's Sport Shop is your fishing and hunting headquarters. Going into fishing season, you know, Clyde's Sport Shop, they've always got something going on. They've always got bait. They've always got information. They've got the fishing hotline, 247-FISH, if you want to call and find out where the fishing action is today. You could certainly do that. Don't forget, they're your Browning headquarters, too, for fine firearms. Don't forget about the BPS pump shotgun. Available in 12, 16, 20, 28 gauge. Turkey season is right around the corner. They have a couple models just for turkey hunting. Camouflage models, even 10 gauge shotguns if you like to do that for waterfowl or for turkeys. That's the BPS, the pump shotgun with bottom ejection and Invector choke tubes. Why not? Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit number 9. Why not give them a call at 410-242-6108. 242-6108, or visit them online at ClydesSports.com.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Unique analysis on local, national, and international developments on the Tom Marr Show, weekdays 9 to noon on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yes, some folks say I'm a simple kind of man. I love the outdoors, eat my beans from a can. I like hunting, fishing, don't care what the tree huggers say. I learned more about life sitting out in the woods or on the banks of a river when the fishing's no good. And if I go home skunked, well, hell, I still had a good day. If I can't go hunting, I'll go fishing. If I can't go fishing, I'll be wishing that I find something fun to do before I call it a day. Yeah, give me my gun, a fishing pole. You might find me down at the fishing hole. I put the line in the water, watch a bobber go floating away.
Put the line in the water, watch a bobber go floating away. I want to see that bobber dip and go under. I want to reel up tight. I want to set that hook and feel that fish on the end. And I don't care if it's a bluegill. I don't care if it's a largemouth bass, a brook trout, a rainbow. I don't care if it's a walleye, a northern pike, a chain pickerel. It don't make any difference to me. It's just a jerk on one end of the line waiting for a jerk on the other end of the line. That's what fishing's all about to me. It can be a catfish for all I care. It can be a carp. I just love getting out there going fishing. And it's coming on to fishing season, that's for sure. I like to fly fish. I like to spin fish. I like to cast. I like to fish for bedded bass. I like to fish for... Boy, I'll tell you, I'm starting to get excited about going fishing. How about you all? You want to call me and talk about fishing? Let's do that. I'm going to even get out there and do some yellow perch fishing this year. Coming up real soon. Season's starting to kick off. Those fish are staging at the mouth of the rivers. We're getting ready to go get some. What's your early season bait for yellow perch? A lot of people like a little shad dart. That's a little weighted jig that kind of has a fluttering action when you retrieve it. They like to take a shad dart. They like to run a bobber down the line about 3 feet. Like to put a little minnow or wax worm or a piece of nightcrawler on that shad dart, toss it out there, and wait for those perch to bite. You know those perch are delicious. Do you know walleye are the first cousin of the perch? That's right. The other pike family are not, but the walleye and a perch look similar. They're colored different, but they look a little bit similar. And you know what? Those fish are delicious to eat. Yeah, a little hard to scale and a little bony, but you know what? If you either fillet them, that's good. If you just scale them and you want to bake them, take your sharp knife and do a checkerboard on their side. Yeah, you know, just kind of slice down through the skin. Bake those fish. That skin peels back, and you peel that meat right off the ribs and right off the backbone. Oh, my goodness. Yellow perch. Yellow perch is wonderful to eat, and it is good timing right now to get ready to think about going out there. Not at 16 degrees. I don't think so. But you know what? If you're a diehard and you want to go, more power to you. But it's coming up here in the next 2 weeks, and we'll keep you praised on that. That's for sure. How do you fish for them? You tell me. 410-922-6680 is the phone number. 1-800-922-6680. We got time for maybe one more call. And let's see. Oh, we're getting some emails in here. I met a number of folks that showed up at the NRA show last weekend. It was good to see you up there. And thanks for stopping by. Here's Vince in Chestertown. I'm sure he has something to say. Good morning, Vince. How are you?
How you doing, Alan?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Well, I just heard you. I had another question that I heard you about. Talking about yellow perch.
Yep.
This year, I am going to try fly fishing for them down in the Tuckahoe.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, I picked up some flies that are shrimp imitation.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm going to give it a whirl because I know that Tuckahoe's not real deep, and it is
right.
Got some spots in it. And I thought that would be interesting on about a four-weight.
Yeah, it would be. I've used some of those crystal buggers, you know, that Joe Bruce ties are originated.
Right.
I've used those for shad. And they work pretty well for shad. I don't know if they imitate a shrimp per se, but that would be another one. I mean, I know he makes them in yellow and pink and all those different things. So, yeah, any little minnow streamer or any little shrimp imitation should work great for those perch.
Well, I thought about some real small clousers there at one
time. Clouser minnow would work. Sure it would.
But and then I saw these shrimp imitations, and I thought, you know, I think I may give them a whirl. Too,
well, you
got some small clousers.
You're a man in the field out there, Vince.
Hey, listen, I got a quick question.
Now, how do you just basically fish that like you're trout fishing or bass fishing? With,
yeah.
I mean, okay. I mean,
right.
How's that work as far as the snags are concerned, you know?
I don't think that would be too bad because the reason I figured I'd go down to Tuckahoe, she's got like a sandy or small pebble bottom.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah.
Okay? And there's some areas down there, like in Queen Anne, that you can actually wade.
Yeah.
I'm real familiar with it, so that's why I'm going to try it down in there, knowing, you know, the contour of the stream.
Yeah, good, good. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Hey, listen, real quick. I was looking at some of my mounts, and I got one or two that are several years old, and it looked like they're getting, you know, deer mounts.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're getting a little old, and like the nose on them.
Yeah.
They're getting like washed out.
Yep.
Is the best way to, I know, just do a vacuum cleaner on the hair and all, but what about if you want to brighten the nose up? What's a good thing to use?
Without talking to my taxidermist, I'm not going to tell you, but I would, are you saying just kind of a dull finish? I mean, the paint's not coming off, right?
Paint's not coming off.
You know what I'd try? I'd try a little Pledge, some spray wax or something like that.
All right. I'll see what happens.
I don't think that's going to hurt him at all.
All right. If the paint's come off, I don't think the paint's come off, but I have to double look.
Yeah.
And you got to get them taken care of.
Yeah, now, and keep your mounts out of the sun, too. That's the main thing.
Yeah, well, I do that. I do keep them out of the sun. That's
yep.
for sure.
Yeah. I haven't noticed.
Part of the wall.
I have a Sycodere that's over 20 years old. I have a white tail that's over 20. I haven't noticed anything like that. Of course, it does depend on the taxidermist a lot of times. So.
Well, I guess that's true. I guess this one's about 30.
Yeah, well, yeah, at that point. Do you smoke?
No.
Okay, all right.
Never have.
Yeah, well, that can kill a mount, too. I mean, I've seen some pretty nasty. I've got one in the basement that we picked up at the antique shop, and it's nasty. All right, Vince. Thanks for the call, buddy.
All right, see
appreciate
you.
It. Yep, see you. Bye-bye. Hey, Ed in Sykesville, you want to hang on past the news, you're certainly welcome to do that. I'll ask Brian to pick up the call and tell you that we can. You'll be first up after the news. Okay? All right, folks. Well, there's the music. The first hour went by fast. You know, you're out to get your guns in Annapolis. So, I don't know what to tell you other than that. You know, hold your politicians' feet to the fire. You know, find out what committee's going to hear this. Get in touch with the chairman and the people on the committee and just let them have it.